The way in which forestry is conducted is a constant source of debate and discussion in our region, and it goes far beyond whether trees should be cut or not. It also gets into whether forest land will even continue to be forest in the future. State and federal forest agencies cooperate on some programs to preserve private forests, and we'll get an overview of that this morning. It's Oregon's Forest Legacy Program. Joining us are Jarrett Kasten from the Oregon Department of Forestry and Jim Cathcart, the Cooperative Forestry Manager in our area. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning.
Well, let me start off by asking Jim a question. Can you explain a little bit about what the Forest Legacy Program is?
Yes, it is a program that's implemented by the State Forestry Department, but the funds come to us from the federal U.S. Department of Agriculture, Forest Service, State and Private Forestry. And the purpose of the program is to maintain forest land for forestry purposes. So in Oregon, as throughout the country, we're losing private forest lands to development or other non-forest uses. And this is a program where a landowner can apply for funds and either sell off those rights to development through the use of through a conservation easement that's held by the state, or in some cases, the state or local government entity can purchase the lands from the private landowner and then keep those lands as forest for forestry purposes.
I was going to ask, after the land is purchased, are they turned into parks or are they left in a natural state? What typically would happen with the land afterwards?
Well, that varies based on the objectives of who's purchasing the land, but Legacy is really the only program that maintains forestry for as working forests. So multiple use is what we're looking for. If private landowners need to manage for economics, social values, as well as ecological values. So we look at a management plan that achieves those outcomes, and the natural resources are an asset to help fund some of the other outcomes in terms of habitat and recreation use. So we really think of it as a working forest for all forestry purposes, and it's not an open space or purely a park or preservation type program.
So is this something where they could keep the land in their family for a certain period of time and then it would go to the state of Oregon?
Well, the conservation easements are permanent, so it's really a decision that needs to be made up front of whether the partnership who's putting the program together says this is an acquisition and the landowners want to see the government purchase it and then maintain it as a government piece of property for forestry purposes, or whether they just want to sell the easement and keep it in private ownership in perpetuity. And it can change hands. But the terms of the easement run with the land, and so the conditions of the easement hold in perpetuity.
If you have a question about the Forest Conservation Program, you can give us a call here at the Jefferson Exchange, anywhere in the listening area, 800-838-3760. In the Rogue Valley, 541-552-6782. Or send us an email question, jx@jeffnet.org. Jarrett, I wanted to ask you a question. I guess there's a deadline coming up where private individuals could apply. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Maybe Jim can help me with this. Jim, you know when the deadline is?
Yeah, it's May 16th, Jarrett.
Yeah. All right, May 16th.
And what are some of the criteria for an individual who wants to participate on that?
So the land has to be privately owned. The application has to come from the landowner. And you have to be in what's called a forest legacy area. That's a wide net of area. The majority of forest lands in Oregon are within a forest legacy area, but not all of them. That was a requirement of the Forest Service that we identify areas of eligibility. And if they contact Jarrett, we can do a check, give us a location of the land, we can do a check and confirm that indeed they are within a forest legacy area.
Are there some specific areas down here in southern Oregon that are available?
Yes. So we define the forest legacy areas kind of ecologically what's around called ecoregions. These are areas that the ecologists, large geographic areas, you know, about the size of counties, but they're areas that ecologists have defined that are similar in terms of the underlying geology, for weather patterns, forest cover types. And so there's a Klamath Siskiyou eco region, and we have a Klamath Siskiyou forest legacy area. There's a coast forest legacy area that's split north and south as well. So, and even further north, there's one up in the Umpqua Basin and along the Cascades. I think the news release had a link to our website, and there's a map that people can click on and visually see these legacy areas.
Take a look at that. Let me ask, do you ever initiate contact with landowners or do some kind of educational thing to try to encourage people to maybe think about a legacy with their land?
Well, we partner. We have a, what's called a Partnership for Forestry Education, and Oregon State University Extension Service, Forestry and Natural Resources, has been doing a program called Ties to the Land. And this is actually was started in Oregon, and it's been replicated now in many Western states. And it's a series of classes that family forest land owners can go through to help plan for succession, how to do that intergenerational transfer, how to get their the next generation interested in owning those forest lands, and some of the business decisions that need to be made in terms of managing your tax liability and so on and so forth. And as part of this, conservation easements are talked about as a tool. And Legacy is not the only program that, that does easements, though it is focused on this work in forests compared to some other programs. So in the broader sense, conservation easements is a tool, and Legacy might be one way to implement that tool.
Do you ever get any pushback from individuals like developers or from city governments who are sort of eyeing that land and thinking, boy, we'd like to do something else with that?
I haven't experienced that. One of the key features of the program is that it's a volunteer. So, you know, this is something that the landowner wants to do. Success, it's a national program. I call it a lottery program. If you watch NCAA basketball, you have to go through the March Madness to get these fundings, and sometimes you have to do it three or four times. It's not good enough to get in the Final Four. You have to win the tournament. And you only do that through partnerships. So if there's burrs in the project, if there's pinch points, if there isn't broad agreement, you're not going to get the traction to get to the Final Four. So those kind of things, you have to have that broad support. When we designed the program, we had to do a consultation with the Department of Land and Conservation Development in terms of compatibility with land use and land use planning. And so that's a feature. So the projects, it's kind of an irony. On the one sense, you know, the development threat and what is allowed in this county land use plan creates the opportunity and makes the project competitive for Legacy. But at the same time, the community's support there, the county's support needs to be there. So it's kind of a fine-tuning of their comprehensive plan, not a conflict with the comprehensive plan.
Yeah, you partially answered my question about can folks reapply if they're – I understand that if there's not enough money in the pot, that would be one reason for rejection. But if there was something about the land, could they reapply at a future point?
Yes. It's very common for our projects to reapply annually for a couple reasons. There's always uncertainty. Congress never passes a budget in a timely manner. And so the next application phase begins before the last one, before people know where they've ended up in the previous one, so they submit contingency applications. And then in a lot of cases, your project may go back nationally and score, but they only fund 15 out of 40 or 50 projects ranked. Mm. And so a lot of times you have to go through the tournament a couple times. You know, you might make the Final Four one year, and you're true yourself up. You're a little bit, you you tweak your application, you strengthen your defense, whatever it takes, and you might win the tournament the next year.
This is a relatively new program in Oregon, isn't it? Can you give me an example of a couple of things that have been funded so far?
Well, we only have one funded project, and that's one completed project in South Eugene Hills, 25 acres. And at the time, our legislature only gave us the authorities to implement the project within an urban growth boundary. And this was a real special oak woodland that's now owned by the city of Eugene in the South Eugene Hills and part of their broader network of oak woodland habitats and wetlands that the city has, as well as Nature Conservancy manages down in that area. We have two active projects that were funded, a 1,400-acre conservation easement in the Blue Mountain region out of North Powder called Blue Mountain Heritage. And the second phase of the Gilchrist State Forest is going to be completed in part with legacy monies down in northern Klamath County. So that's the 25,000-acre phase two of the Gilchrist State Forest acquisition, high priority for the state and the department, the board, the governor's office. Legacy money is being used to fund a piece of that phase two.
We're discussing the Forest Legacy Program today and participation in that, including a deadline coming up in May for anyone who wanted to apply. If you have a question or a comment, 800-838-3760 in the Medford-Ashland area, 541-552-6782, or email jx@jeffnet.org. Are there any particular areas of the state? You mentioned where some of the conservation easements and areas are located around the state. Is there any particular area that you're really interested in right now and hope that somebody steps forward?
Well, that's a great question. So our steering committee for this program, we're kind of in the opposite mode right now. We set out a large net in terms of these legacy areas where people can apply from, and we have a lot to learn about this program. So what we decided, the strategy is, let's just see the types of projects that come, you know, let's get a feel for what works successfully at the national panel, because really that's where the rubber hits the road. I mean, you have to send good projects back that compete nationally. And so we had discussions like, well, this is maybe, you know, initially we had a focus on non-commercial timber types in Oregon, what calls the Gold Five lands, ponderosa pine woodlands, riparian gallery forests, oak woodlands. Those kind of projects in the early 2000s when we first developed this program were the ones that were falling through the cracks in terms of threat from land use change, but they didn't compete very well nationally. Over 10 years, we've had sweeping changes in the timberland ownership, where now a lot of timberland owners are a real estate investment interests. They're no longer connected to a milling facility. And we're getting this fragmentation of large industrial blocks of land and losing those lands because they're being broken up into multiple ownerships and maybe not managing as actively or as in unison. And so this is kind of a leading indicator of future development, this fragmentation or parcelization is the term. And so those are really dynamically different types of projects, and both are important. So how do you prioritize an apple over an orange? It's difficult. So the committee said, let's just see what's out there. Let's get a feel for how apples do nationally, how oranges do nationally. And then once we kind of cut our teeth and get a little bit of experience, maybe we can do some more focused outreach in an area and work with our sister agencies like the Oregon Watershed Enhancement Board, the Oregon Department of Fish and Wildlife, and make these programs work together to have a more concentrated outcome in terms of protection wall-to-wall in a particular watershed or region. But we're still in the step one stage of kind of learning what works before we could take those other steps and strategize how to work with other programs and how to have more of a focused investment.
If an area has been broken up into parcels or is in the process of that happening, does that necessarily disqualify that area? I mean, are you looking for things that are more contiguous, or are you okay with it either way?
Well, ideally, what we'd like to do is be able to come in and have a project that prevents the initial parcelization. So, that's to me the threat and the opportunity to break the land up into multiple owners makes the project competitive from legacy, and so we want to come in and prevent that. We've had an area of interest outside of Bend called the Skyline Forest. And that's a project that in the future we'd like to see maybe look at legacy because right now it's just one single large industrial ownership, but it's just so strategically ripe for this parcelization. And that's why the state took action on the Gilchrist State Forest for the same reason and did that even more proactively, getting that land well ahead of the threat, whereas like Skyline is more immediate. When it's more immediate, it's more expensive. But ideally, you want to get there ahead of time. I was looking at another property for a different program, and the landowner was thinking, well, what if I do this first step and then we try to save the rest? And it's like, well, that might work depending on where the ecological features are, where the real forest values are, but that's, you're probably not going to be as high priority because you're already kind of tainting the property with that initial development and then saying, okay, I want to, you kind of want to have your cake and eat it too. And I certainly respect that. There's no, doesn't hurt to ask, but it lowers the project's priority because then all of a sudden it's not as contiguous, it's not as whole, it's not as good if we can prevent it from the beginning.
We've been discussing Oregon's Forest Legacy Program this morning. My guests have been Jarrett Kasten from the Oregon Department of Forestry and Jim Cathcart, who is the Cooperative Forestry Manager. It's about developing a legacy program from private ownership to the state of Oregon. And gentlemen, thank you for being with us this morning.
Well, thank you very much for the time and interest.
And coming up in our next hour, we're going to be talking to best-selling author Craig Nelson about his new book, The Age of Radiance, The Epic Rise and Dramatic Fall of the Atomic Era. We'll be taking your telephone calls and your emails here at the Jefferson Exchange.